The Jets made some moves, and the Giants ruffled some feathers. I've been itching to give my opinion on why people need to slow down and stop all of this damn tripping about these trades that were made and these signings that was done. It's time for me and Mad Mike to roll up our sleeves and get gritty in this great city of New York. Let's get this damn show started.
Listen, when Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike grab mics, it's real sports, real talk, on the field or on the court. If it happened in New York, it's covered like a blanket, dog. Interviews are ill, simply up close and personal. Batter up, Lloyd's batting first, set the tone. Mike's either at the stadium or the garden on the phone. Here we go, Giants are Jets, Yankees are Mets, Knicks are Nets. This is only an intro, the show is next.
A-O-B! And please, pardon my fresh, as we bring you an all-new episode of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Listeners, today is March 18th, 2019, and this show airs every single Monday at 1 p.m. on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, TuneIn, Google Play, Pocket Cast. Yes, yes, we are all over the place, listeners. So please subscribe to the show so you won't miss a damn thing, and you can catch previous tapings of the show. And if you have any questions that you'd like for me and Mad Mike to answer on the show, you can always shoot them through email to Lloyd@partmyfresh.com, or you can send them directly to the website. Me and Mad Mike are also on social media, Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Instagram, Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Twitter, LLOYD. Be sure to hit that follow button. Great show for you today. We are going to mostly focus on the trade that was made by the New York Giants, trading away a top three receiver and their best player, Odell Beckham Jr., to the Cleveland Browns. And everybody is killing this trade. Fans are going nuts, but I'm going to tell you why this trade I actually like, okay? And we're also going to talk about the signings that the Jets made. Le'Veon Bell going to the Jets. Anthony Barr saying that he was coming and then backing out. No. And we're going to talk a little bit about baseball, and we're also going to get Mad Mike's rant for the week. So listeners, as always, let's buckle up, sit back and relax, and start spreading the news. Hey, yo, let's get it.
How sweet it is. It's Monday. That means the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show is back. Let's go.
As always, we got to find out where the Mad Mike is and where he's calling from. Yo, Mad Mike, where you at today, baby?
Lloyd, brother, I'm in Tampa, Florida. I'm catching these Yankees. I'm hoping to speak with Michael Kay, get some information from the Yankees that I could hopefully cross-check with our good friend Joe Rivera from the Sporting News and see what's going on. I mean, word is officially Aaron Hicks is going to miss opening day. Luis Severino is going to miss the entire opening month. And, you know, I'm wondering how Jacoby Ellsbury and a couple other guys play into this mix. So I'm down here trying to get some answers for you guys up there.
Listen, we got to get that in before the show ends today. So listeners, we may be doing you guys a favor. I know you like the show so much. It may be extending a little bit. But look, first thing first, Matt Mike, we got to talk about this NFL frenzy that has not been only going on in the NFL, but with both our New York teams. Okay, and the biggest thing, Mad Mike, is the Odell Beckham Jr. trade that has left many New York Giant fans crying in their collective beer. All right, some are feeling betrayed, like myself, by the team, and they're voicing their dismay on social media. They're killing Dave Gettleman. Yada, yada, et cetera, and rightfully so. And listeners, we're going to tell you why you should kill Dave Gettleman, but I'm going to say why that I actually think that I like this deal. All right, you got to hear me out on this. I know a bunch of you right now be like, what? What you mean you like this deal? This deal doesn't make any sense. Well, I'm going to try to make it make some sense for you guys. And it's going to be also interesting to see what Mad Mike has to say. I'm even looking forward to see what Mad Mike has to say, okay? But listen, first things first, listeners, time will tell, okay? Whether the Giants made the right move by trading Beckham Jr. to the Cleveland Browns for safety Jabril Peppers and two high draft picks, okay? It's too early to render any type of prediction about this, all right? The Giants, in my opinion, Mad Mike, and I'm sure you may agree with me on this, they should have never signed Beckham to a long-term deal. They should have trashed him before the 2018 season and begin to build the team according to Gettleman's vision. Instead, they continue down the path, the pipe dream, that a hood ornament player could bring them back to their winning ways, all right? Beckham was coming off a lost season in which he broke his ankle and played in just four games, but ownership did not want to give up on their superstar and deal him away for a package of players and picks to help them fill many holes on their roster. Because Matt Mike said that they had many holes on their roster then, and they have more holes on their roster now, okay? Finally, after another losing season in 2018 and another year in which Beckham did not play in all 16 games, he missed four of them. Now I'm starting to think, did he miss those four games on purpose? It was time to test the market for him and make the inevitable a reality. This was happening either way, listeners. It was going to happen. And while short-sighted fans blast the move, I thought it was the right move to take. I really did, Mad Mike. Okay, so I think the Giants, a lot of people say the Giants didn't get the better of the deal. The Giants were 3-13, okay, 5-11 in the last two seasons. They didn't just trade a two-time Super Bowl champion, Odell Beckham Jr., that they can't live without. Listen to me, listeners. What have the Giants done with Odell Beckham Jr. as their wideout? No doubt about it, he's one of the top receivers in the NFL, as me and Matt Mike have stated. I think that there's only two receivers in this league that's better than Odell Beckham Jr. And that's Antonio Brown and Julio Jones. And some can argue that. But that's where he fits. So we're not saying, or I'm not saying, so to speak, that the Giants traded away somebody that's garbage or trash. This guy is an excellent football player. Excellent football player. But Beckham has only played 16 or 32 games in the past 2 years. And at this point, you had the Antonio Brown thing. You see what the Steelers got for Antonio Brown, listeners? A third and a fifth round pick for the best receiver in football. Why? Because they ended up being handcuffed. Okay, teams knew that he didn't want to go back to Pittsburgh. And he was going to be out. Pittsburgh had to get something, and teams knew this. And the Giants are getting a first-round pick this year. They're getting a starting safety in Jabril Peppers, who's no slouch, by the way. Is he the best safety in football? No. And they get a third-round pick. They also free up cap space, and they get a different locker room. What's your thoughts on this before I continue, man, Mike? Because I'm just continuing to run my mouth and I could go on and on. I just want to get your thoughts on it because I'm actually looking forward to it and I'm sure the listeners are.
Well, we all know that I've always been skeptical of Dave Gettleman. I thought he did a terrible job. We spoke about this last week. He ushered out Steve Smith. He didn't get along with some of the vets. And this move... doesn't shock me. I'll be honest with you. I first thought about this move, Lloyd, and I said, man, they did all right. First round pick, third round pick, and Jabril Peppers, who everyone, you know, if you don't know, New Jersey kid, went to Michigan. I absolutely love this talent. I was actually calling for the Jets to try to make a move up for him when it looked like he was going to, you know, fall late first round into second round. So I'm just giving you an idea of how much I like that. His talent. But then I step back and I say, these were Dave Gettleman's words, right? You can't operate in a vacuum. You have to, you can't just look at the one move and judge that. You have to look at everything, right? So now I'm looking at this trade and I'm bringing everything into it, Lloyd. I'm saying Odell Beckham is a top three. The reason I thought the 1-3 and Peppers was a good move was because you saw Antonio Brown go for a 3 and a 5. You know, just a week ago. But here's the thing. he was angling for a new contract. Odell Beckham, on the other hand, just signed a brand new contract, $90 million, made $21.5 million this past season to play in 12 games, has a $16 million dead cap hit this season. So when I'm thinking about that, I'm saying, okay, so why does Jabril Peppers, why the need for Jabril Peppers? He's not a top three player at his position. So why are you looking at him in the Odell Beckham swap? I say to myself, because you got absolutely nothing for Landon Collins, right? So now I'm taking this trade and I'm banging it down a notch because I'm saying you didn't necessarily get the best offer. You got what fit your needs, but those needs were created by you, by the release of Landon Collins. Then I'm saying, if you look at what the NFL said, because the Giants traded back the third round pick, or the Browns traded back the third round pick they got from the Giants in the Olivier Vernon trade. You see, that's what no one's talking about. All they did was flip the picks back, so this counts as one trade. The NFL didn't announce two trades. They now announced officially one trade, where the Giants come out of it with $24.5 million in dead cap space between Olivier Vernon and Odell Beckham Jr. So now, I tell you, Zeitler, Peppers, a first and a third, is that anything close to enough for Odell Beckham and Olivier Vernon? And $24.5 million in dead cap space? Hell no. Hell no. And because Peppers is included because of the Landon Collins move, I'm going to put it, once again, I'm operating in a vacuum. You can't operate in a vacuum, right? Dave Gettleman told us this. So I'm saying Odell Beckham, Landon Collins, and Olivier Vernon, and $24.5 million in dead cap space got moved for a first-round pick, a third-round pick, Julius Peppers, and Zeitler. Do you like this trade?
I'm going to be actually honest with you. I'm still in favor of the trade because of this. The things that I'm not in favor with, obviously, is the dead cap space that takes a hit. But Olivier Vernon hasn't played well in a Giants uniform and hasn't lived up to that contract, man, Mike. Bottom line, as he hasn't. Okay, the one person that could have possibly lived up to their contract has been Odell Beckham Jr. And you brought up a great point. You paid somebody $21 million that didn't even play a full season of football, and you still had control of a player, okay? You still had control of one of the top three players in the league, where you mentioned Antonio Brown was up for a new contract. So he, you know, it was a different situation. But this dude, Odell Beckham Jr., he would have been a nuisance, man. We already seen his sideline antics. We already seen him throwing his helmet down, punching coolers, knocking over nets. That's, to me, that makes you become bigger than a team.
You know what? And I don't disagree with you, but I'll tell you this. If you would have positioned yourself to take that quarterback in this year's draft, you think Odell Beckham would be going crazy? No. Because you by taking the quarterback, and you're kind of presenting to him with the future. You're presenting him with the future. His thing is, and you might disagree with me or not, I don't think you'll disagree with me. I don't disagree with you that he's a problem. You know what I mean? Let's get that clear. I don't. But and I don't think you'll disagree with me here. Drafting a quarterback, while you don't necessarily sign up for because of all the holes, the one thing drafting a quarterback would have done would have sent the signal to him that we're serious about moving on from Eli Manning. And I think a lot of Odell Beckham's frustrations with the franchise is the fact that no one there is willing to move on and move in a new direction at the position when the entire NFL is moving on and moving in a different direction outside of the Patriots. You know what I mean? So I think that would have been the first signal, moving up and snagging Dwayne Haskins. You know, even if it meant trading a first and a third and a second to the New York Jets to land Dwayne Haskins, that would have, I think, quieted Odell. I don't think he would have been a problem going forward. And you know me, I'm not an Odell fan. I don't like the guy. And I'm actually pretty happy that he did end up getting traded. But I'm just telling you, from a nuisance standpoint, from being a headache, I don't think he would have been the same pain in the ass for the Giants moving forward had they taken the quarterback this year. And I'll even take it a step back. As much as everybody loves Saquon Barkley, I think if they would have took the quarterback last year, he would have shut his mouth. He would have never done any of these interviews because he knows that Eli is on his way out. And that's what he's pushing for. That's what he was pushing for.
Well, maybe this is telling us that the Giants aren't drafting a quarterback, because I'm hearing reports now that they may take two defensive guys in the first, you know, in the first round. I'm hearing the young man from Clemson. I think his name is Lawrence.
Dexter Lawrence?
Yeah, I'm hearing the Giants might take him at number six.
I don't know, man. We're talking about a guy who some thought is he's going to fall out of depending on his pro day, you know, going to fall out of the first round. I mean, Cleveland Farrell started falling. I can't wait to do the draft with you, but, you know, people are starting to believe that, you know, those guys were just, you know, they look better as a team because they, you know, that Clemson line was beastly, just super talented. But as individuals, people are starting to question, hey, are these guys going to be impact players? So, you know, just to give you an idea, you know, just, you know, a little thought on that.
Obviously, I wanted the Giants to take Dwayne Haskins initially when we did our first, you know, our little mock draft before, but that's changed right now. And listeners, hopefully next week, maybe next week, depending on what goes on, maybe we'll do another quick mock-up draft with all this stuff going on. But I also felt, man, Mike, that the Giants weren't the Giants while Odell Beckham Jr. was on his team. I thought that they danced around disciplining him and walked, you know, he walked all over them. He did nothing malicious, mind you, you know, nothing really crazy, nothing out the box.
Just a little silence to say I don't respect you.
Yeah, but make no mistake. You know, there was a 52-1 feel to him, to this team. And Beckham burnt through three coaches because the owners would not hold them accountable. And it turned them into losers. And as talented as he is, listen, this is a talented young man. It's very tough for a team to overcome a locker room where certain players get preferential treatment. There's no chance for unity, in my opinion. No chance whatsoever. None. And I'm saying, look, at the end of the day, obviously, I felt that the Giants could have gotten more for Odell Beckham Jr. And we can all say that they didn't get enough. But you also got to look at everything else that's going on. Do you think the Giants tried to get the number two from San Francisco for Odell Beckham Jr.? San Francisco told him to go to hell.
Well, you know, not for nothing. It's if you, but here was the thing, and if all reports are true on that, the Giants tried to keep six and get the number two for Odell, and from what I understand, San Fran said, no way. You know, you want the number two, you're gonna give us the number six and Odell Beckham. And if you think about it, that's not. You know, all that crazy. The Jets gave up 3 second-round picks in the number six last year to move up to number three. So if you're the Niners, you're saying, hey, Odell and one first-round pick to move all the way up to number two. So the Giants actually kind of showed me that maybe they're not so serious about quarterbacks. What bothers me about that is they told you last year that they didn't like last year's crop of quarterbacks. And that was the best crop of quarterbacks in some 3 or 4 years since the Andrew Luck crop. And now this year they're telling you they don't like the crop again. It doesn't make any sense. Do they know what they're looking at? It doesn't. I understand what you're saying, Lloyd. At some point you got to move on, man.
But for Odell Beckham Jr., you're talking the top three and people are killing this team for getting what they got. So I would do the same thing. Like, no, I'm not giving you I get what you're saying. Like that, and in some sense, what you're saying makes sense. But what I'm saying is, if I have a top three receiver and people are killing this team for trading a top three receiver, you damn right, I want to keep my number six and I want your number one for Odell Beckham Jr. because he's a top three receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, but not I'll put it to you this way. So think about it from this standpoint. With that 17 overall pick, Jabril Peppers, and a third round pick have got the number two pick from Cleveland, to San Francisco, they wouldn't have got it done. That would have been nowhere close to enough. So from that standpoint, then the Giants got fleeced, right? If you're telling me Odell's worth the number two, and I'm telling you that the first, third, and Jabril Peppers isn't worth the two, then you got fleeced.
No, what I'm basically saying is you got to shoot for the stars. If you have a number, if you have a number three, if you have a top three receiver in the NFL, you ask for everything in the house. You may not get everything in the house, but you ask for it, man, Mike. And
you
then
do,
you go from there.
But then you pivot. And that's what I'm saying. If you're them now, and I'm going to tell you this because I heard it out of Matt Miller's mouth, who was tied to San Francisco. He already said, all things created equal, if the Giants, Denver, if any team tries to make a play up along with the Giants, San Fran, after being burned by the Giants for Odell, are not even going to consider the Giants. There's now going to be a what have you done for me lately tax, and the Giants are now going to have to give up even more to move up to two after burning them twice.
I said it all along, man, Mike, I would not move up to draft any of these quarterbacks, and I'm going to stand behind it. If none of these quarterbacks is here when you pick 16, you pick on the defensive side of the ball. You pick on the defensive side of the ball. You need help at tackle.
But then when are you going to get your quarterback? That's the question. When
the whole
are you
thing
gonna
is
get
basically
your quarterback?
Eli Manning got $5 million bonus, a roster bonus. Okay, so this guy continues to get richer.
Yeah. He actually this week surpassed his brother for highest highest paid all-time player in NFL history. Before, he was the highest paid player on one team, and this week he surpassed his brother. And if you want to say, well, look at the listen, Peyton's got two Super Bowls and he's got all the regular season stats one could want, and he now is number two on all-time paid. So call it whatever you want. Eli Manning has absolutely robbed the Giants. Well, I don't know what you want to call it. But
yeah, for whatever reason, I'm not married to Dwayne Haskins. And like I said, I wouldn't trade up. I don't think any quarterback in this draft is worth trading up to get, man, Mike. And then you ask me, what would I do with the quarterback? Shit. Hell, the Giants have been doing it the last two drafts, right? See what's available towards the tail end of the draft. Third round, fourth round, whatever the case may be.
Well, how Kyle Laletta look this year?
If you're telling,
that's what I'm saying. It's
I get
tough.
It, but and the same thing about Davis Webb. Although we thought Davis Webb had more potential, and the Giants could have possibly given up on him too soon, we can say the same thing about Davis Webb. You know, but there's been sometimes you have to swing at multiple pitches before you hit a home run. Who knows? Maybe the Giants might find a Tom Brady later in the draft, like New England did. I'm not saying that that's the case. But if the
New York Giants are not coached by Bill Belichick.
No, but if you're saying basically that Eli Manning is your starting quarterback this year, no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Okay, this team has super holes all over the place. And you know what I would do? I would then take the holes that's needed, a defensive player and an offensive tackle with those first two picks, okay, in the first round, because somebody be there at 6 and somebody be there at 17. Okay, I would draft the quarterback late in the round, and then I would see if this team is going to be this bad, man, Mike, like people are saying, well, guess where the hell they're going to be next year? In position to draft the quarterback.
That's the thing. I don't think they will be. You know what I mean? Like, I think we're with the addition, the stupid addition, the mind-numbingly dumb addition of overpaying for Golden Tate. it's like you guys have. It's going to be the same exact thing it was a year ago. You know, Washington is now in full rebuild mode. So you're looking at a couple wins there. You know, this team is not going to be in position. This team
is
going to be
everybody is, you know, blasting this deal and saying that the Giants are going to be terrible. Well, if everybody is right about that, then the Giants will be there next year. And if we're saying that the Giants aren't, that means the Giants are going to win 6 games or more. Five games or more. Let's say 5 games or more. Which they won 5 games this year, right? And they're picking 6.
But see, this is the thing about the draft. If Cole Beasley doesn't catch that touchdown in the final game of this season, in the last seconds, the Giants are picking 12th this year. That's what I'm saying, man, Mike.
People are saying that this team is worse because they got rid of Odell Beckham Jr. So if you're saying that a team is going to be worse than a 5-win team that was this past season, then what is that saying? That means you're going to win less than 5 games this year. Less than five. So that means that if you're going to win less than five, you should be in play for a quarterback in next year's draft, in which I think that class may be stronger than this year. I will say, and I'm not, look, I will say the Giants are a mess right now. They're giving off mixed signals. And I'm sick and tired, Mad Mike, of New York organizations, the front office of New York organizations, bamboozling fans. This is the second time we've gone through this. Dave Gettleman has said up and down, I wouldn't sign Odell Beckham Jr. to trade him. Another interview, before you ask me any questions, I'm going to say this to you guys. I would not have signed Odell Beckham Jr. to trade him. And then what does he do? He trades him. So yeah, well, people are going to be pissed.
He also said that he does not want to be in quarterback hell and has passed up the quarterback. If he passes up this year, he's passing the quarterback, you know, after being in position 2 years in a row to get him.
And that's the mixed signals. Because then you don't want to be in quarterback hell, but you're not cutting Eli Manning. Now, what do you think? Who do you think fans would be more upset about, man, Mike? Cutting Eli Manning or keeping Odell Beckham Jr.?
Like I said before, I think if you had drafted the quarterback, Odell Beckham would not have been a pain in the butt. And that's where the fans are, because it forces you now, that the idea of that forces you to choose between Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley, which is why I said, just tell him this year, we are going to move up to number two and we are going to take Dwayne Haskins and he will shut the F up.
But you know what though, Mad Mike, I get it, but at the end of the day, you're a paid professional and you're being paid to do a job.
Hey man,
as a competitor, nobody wants to lose. Nobody wants to lose. But do you really think that when Odell Beckham Jr. signed this contract, somebody told him, "Hey man, we're going to get you the quarterback of the future if you sign this contract"? Do you think he even cared at that point? I don't even think he even cared. But he got what he wanted, which was the money, and then he turned around and was like, "Well, you know what? I want this also." And I think that's classic for someone that he's shown that he's been since wearing a Giants uniform. And let's not forget, we can kill Eli Manning all we want to, man, Mike. But somebody threw him the damn ball, and I don't want to use the word damn. I want to use the F word. But somebody's thrown him the ball. We say what we want to about Eli Manning, but all those yards that he's received, or that he's obtained in his career, somebody throwing the damn ball for him to get those yards. No, Eli Manning, I'm not a big Eli Manning fan, okay? But how the hell did Odell Beckham Jr. get the ball? Eli Manning threw it to him. And only Eli Manning. Outside of what was the guy's name that the Giants benched Eli Manning for? I can't even remember his damn name.
Oh, Geno Smith?
Geno Smith. I don't even know if Odell Beckham Jr. was even playing when Geno Smith was quarterbacking the team.
No, he was already out. But look, man, don't confuse. You know how I feel about Odell. I actually used to go on the blitz, and you would defend him. So I'm not here to defend him. I totally get it. I'm just trying to tell you that I don't think he would have been the malcontent had they assured him that they weren't married to Eli Manning. And you want to talk about misdirection from Dave Gettleman, let's talk about he had that no-holds-barred conversation with Eli Manning where they didn't hold back. And they basically were honest with Eli Manning about who he was, where he stood, and everything else, right? I'm sorry, but did they not spend this entire offseason so far siding with Eli Manning, making sure that they ushered him out the right, they give him a champion's farewell? So what no holds barred conversation did they have with him? That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? So you talking about misdirection, and there it is, man. Everything that they've given you has been non-truth. It just has been. I mean, it's a think about this Golden Tate deal.
Yeah, that's another thing.
About this Golden Tate deal. Who was banging down Golden Tate's door to give a 31-year-old slot receiver $31 million? Or 30-some million dollars, 23 guaranteed, right? Nobody. But the Giants did. But you want to know why they did? Because Sterling Shepard is what? He's not really an outside goal receiver. He's more of an underneath slot guy himself. And then you give Eli Manning, Golden Tate, and a slot guy, another one, overpaid, and your tight end. You know, what they did is they said Eli Manning is not really an accurate quarterback anymore. Eli Manning is not really a downfield player anymore.
Everything is going to be quick with this team. You're right.
Yes. And you want to know what? We don't have a very good offensive line as far as protection. So we're just going to overpay and keep everything 5-6 yards. So the same kind of offense that infuriated you last year is the offense you're going to see this year. Except it's not going to have Odell Beckham, a home run hitter.
I agree with you. Everything is going to be a dink to Saquon Barkley, a jab to Golden Tate,
and then they're going to sell you
Shepard.
They're going to sell you on how Eli Manning is hitting 72% of his passes.
Yeah, well,
you
know what? If I had to throw the ball 5 damn yards, I'll hit on 72% of my passes also.
That's my point, Lloyd. That's exactly my point. That's the part
that they're
going to leave out.
Maybe that's another reason why they traded Odell. Maybe they don't plan on throwing the ball down the damn field. I don't know. Is that really part of Pat Shermer's offense? Did Minnesota? I know they have Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, so they had to throw the ball down the field at some point with those two guys.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm just saying, man, Mike, like, I get it. Odell Beckham Jr., Cleveland has a ridiculous offensive side of the ball, and everybody's picking these dudes behind New England and Kansas City to be a playoff contending, a Super Bowl contending team. I'm saying let's not jump the broomstick on that just yet, but whatever. Good luck to Odell Beckham Jr. I do realize as a football fan that Cleveland's offense is utterly ridiculous at this point. But you're going to talk about putting them as a Super Bowl contending team because of that? It's a possibility. We'll see. They still got to tackle. They still got to keep other offenses from reaching the end zone. They do have some good players on the defensive side of the ball.
The one thing about that trade to them, I will say, those guys have enough alphas where, listen, Baker Mayfield, he'll be the first guy to tell, you know, I don't know if I could say this on the show, but he'll be the first guy to tell Odell, stop bitching. You know what I mean? Like, take your opportunities, and that's it, yo. Like, shut up. This is my team. This ain't your team. We already started something here. You would do another piece of it. This is not the Odell Beckham show.
And that, you know, he'll be the first to tell him. Great point.
So that's you know, a lot of people are saying that's one of the reasons that Cleveland did it is because they know that Jarvis Landry is his best friend, and he's another fiery guy who will have no problem getting in his face. So that's why they did it, because it's not that Odell is an alpha, and I've heard this on numerous shows. It's not that he's an alpha. It's that he's going to do what you allow him to get away with. He's not going to be the guy that fights you back. So if you tell him, shut the F up and get in line, he's going to shut the F up and get in line. It's just a matter that that's not how Eli leads, and there was no one else until this year with Saquon Barkley that could match that talent, that could do the same thing. Except we know one thing, Saquon doesn't give off that vibe either. He gives off a vibe that he's an absolute professional. Not that, you know, and that doesn't make him a punk. It just means he has that Derek Jeter way of going about things, opposed to that Paul O'Neill way of going about things. You know what I mean? Two totally different ways.
For those who don't know who Paul O'Neill is, listeners, Paul O'Neill was a fiery Yankee who spoke his mind on the field, off the field. And Matt Mike is 1,000% right. Saquon Barkley, he comes to his job, and he puts in his work, and he does what's asked of him. Now, who knows? He can change, because people do change. He may get sick of losing, Matt Mike. You know what I'm saying? And he may at some point be like, you know what? I'm sick of this. I want out of here. That's a possibility. But let's face it, from the time this young man put on a Giants uniform and the way he carried himself, it was evident that this was going to be Saquon Barkley's team and not Odell Beckham Jr.'s team.
Yeah. One, because there was finally somebody who could come in with just as big a smile with just as many highlights, with just as many special plays as Odell. And it makes it easier to give it off to him. You know, it's I get it. And maybe that's one of the reasons why you drafted him instead of the quarterback. And you know, this could be just pure speculation. But, you know, if you draft the quarterback, it's the new face in your team. But at the same time, unless you're drafting Baker Mayfield, I mean, Sam Darnold doesn't he gives off, you know, that professional leadership vibe. He doesn't necessarily give off that fiery Baker Mayfield leadership. And it's clear to me that that's the only type of leadership that is going to check Odell. So instead, you get yourself a new leader, somebody that you want, like you want the team to take the identity of that leader, right? And you know, I guess lead by example. And you want a guy like Saquon, a good kid, a big flashy smile, quietly goes about his business of being great. And that's how the Giants have always conducted themselves, or at least given off the perception that they've conducted themselves that way. Odell was not that way. Odell is more of the new age, new breed. I'm about my brand. I got to the NFL and I dyed my hair blonde and I went and got these freaking LT earrings and these big chains. You know what I'm saying? I'm a brand. And I'm going to make sure everybody knows that I'm the brand above the Giants. Saquon is not that kind of kid. And it's clear to me that was one of the other reasons for this trade, that they want to get their brand back. They want to go back to Giant football. They want it to mean something, to be a part of Big Blue. And you know, that's where we're at.
Which is exactly the point that I was making not too long ago. Which is exactly this. But I want to see what this damn plan is, man, Mike. Because
there's
gentlemen
no
are saying
no,
he
no,
has
no,
a plan.
No, there's no plan. No, there's no plan.
That's
listen,
what he's telling the listeners. I mean, that's what he's telling.
I'm telling
the
you,
fans.
It's directionless.
Oh, I know there isn't.
Football.
I know there isn't. But this idiot is saying that there's a plan.
There's a plan to let Eli Manning walk off into the sunset as a Giant. That's
my
the plan.
My whole thing, man, Mike. If the plan when you traded Odell Beckham Jr. was to show Giant fans that okay, we're officially in a rebuilding phase. Okay, because obviously if you trade Odell Beckham Jr. and you're looking the talks of Dwayne Haskins or Kyler Murray or Drew Locke, whatever the case may be this year, and Eli Manning was going to walk off into the sunset, like you said, at the end of this season, and then you turn around and sign Golden Tate to a four-year deal?
That had me scratching my head. There's no plan, and then there's no plan. And remember something. So Jabril Peppers and his $1.5 million salary, so okay, he's the replacement for Landon Collins. No problem. You know what I'm saying? No problem at all. You want to call that, I'll buy that. But who did they get to replace Olivier Vernon?
They have to do it in the draft, man, Mike. They have to. And I mean absolutely have to. They have to do it in the draft. I mean, they had the kid Carter last year who showed some glimpses of being a great pass rusher, Lorenzo Carter. But they have to get another person on the opposite edge. I know they signed the guy from Arizona. I can't think of the young man's name. He's coming off a serious knee injury. He didn't really have that great of a season in Arizona. And let's also mention that they also signed Antoine Bethea.
35-year-old Antoine Bethea. Yay!
You know, so, again, it seems like more and more former Cardinals are signing on, but they couldn't get the honey badger here.
But why not? Because they didn't want to pay the money.
Yeah.
Because they have. But see what I'm saying? And this is what I'm saying with Dave Gettleman, right? You have a quarterback who doesn't fit today's NFL scheme, right? And then you're a GM that doesn't believe in I don't want to say safety, but he just doesn't believe in big money safeties, right? That's what he said. His words, yet again. And if you look over his career, that's the proof, right? Well, where's the league going? To big money safeties. They just are. The Jets have two of them. Your boy from Seattle just got super paid in Baltimore. Like you just said, Earl Thomas. Honey Badger just got super paid. Eric Berry, once he could show everybody that he could pass a physical, he's going to get a pretty damn hefty salary.
You know why, man, Mike? Because you have more and more hybrid tight ends that are running 4.5s and 4.4s.
Correct, right? And then you have Derwin. You have guys like Derwin James in the draft. So it's going that way. And he's about 35-year-old you know, Antoine Bethea at safety.
I will say this, Mike. The Giants now have two safeties that can cover better than what they had. Both of them can tackle. You can move Jabril Peppers. You can put him deep. You can put him inside the box. He's an excellent tackler. He's sideline to sideline. And even at Antoine Bethea, being at the age that he is, he's also an excellent tackler, and he can cover well, as has been proven in his stats since he's been with Arizona. So, I mean, obviously, you let Landon Collins walk. That makes no sense to any of us.
Okay, so we just finished talking about that, but the Giants don't have the same linebackers that linebacker core Arizona had, and they don't have the same Patrick Peterson.
This is why I say, in order for me to feel super comfortable about this deal, the Giants have to have an excellent draft. I don't mean a good draft. They have to have an excellent draft, Matt Mike.
Yeah, and just to put it out there, one more thing I want to say. Antoine Bethea's numbers look a lot better than who he is. Remember something, he played next to, until last season, he was playing next to the Honey Badger for all those years. So, you know, you're talking about a guy who's played in what was considered an elite secondary for a long time. And they had pass rush, something the Giants don't have. So I happen to think that his numbers are a little bit bloated compared to what his skill set really is. And it's not like the Giants have a middle linebacker in Alec Ogletree who's going to
I'll tell you right now, I would sign my first pick. I would either go a defensive pass rush, or I would draft Devin White from LSU, who's a sideline linebacker.
Well, I think Devin White will be there at around the 17th pick.
I wouldn't even be mad taking a defensive pass rusher at number 6 and then taking him at 17. I wouldn't be mad at that. They have to address the offensive side. But look, enough about the New York Giants. We want to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back, and we're going to get Mad Mike's opinion about the New York Football Jets. So we'll be right back with more of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Welcome back to the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. The first half of the show, listeners, we focused on the New York Giants and gave our opinions on why we felt that this deal made no sense, and why we felt that this deal made a little bit of sense, and some sense in what the Giants are doing moving forward. But let's talk about the New York Jets, Mad Mike's football team. The New York Jets is the New York Jets. Signed Le'Veon Bell, okay? They went and signed C.J. Mosley, all right? They traded for Assimile. Am I saying his last name correctly, Mad Mike?
Yeah, Calicio Assembly.
And then they had an agreement from Anthony Barr, who turned around at the last minute and backed out and said, well, I'm going back to Minnesota. Now, before we get your opinion on if you like the deals that the Jets have made thus far, Matt Mike, I just want to say something about this whole Anthony Barr thing, okay? Because that's what we call a sucker move right there. All right, that was a sucker move by Anthony Barr. You don't commit to a team and then turn around and back out on that team and go someplace else. What if a team did that to a player, Mad Mike? What if an NFL team told the player, look, we're going to sign you to a contract, and the player has the opportunity to go to other teams and says, you know what, nah, I'm going to sign with the New York Jets. I'm good. And the other team's like, look, man, we got a lot of money on the table for you. Oh, no. I'm going to take this offer for the Jets. And the Jets turn around and be like, you know what? Sorry, sucker. We don't want you no more. And then this player goes back to the other teams and be like, hey, the Jets don't want me. How about it? And the other team's like, nah, man, go kick rocks. That organization will be blasted, Mad Mike. And you know I'm not a Jets fan. I'm not a Jets fan. But right is right and wrong is wrong. And it's called integrity. And this young man showed none of it. His camp showed none of it. When I saw that the Jets had agreed to sign Anthony Barr and C.J. Mosley, I was like, God damn. I might have to become a Jets fan. Just think of that, Mad Mike. Anthony Barr, C.J. Mosley, and them two damn safeties you got over there, along with the D-line that you have. And you got some good linebackers also and decent corners. If Tremaine Johnson plays like he's capable of playing, and I really don't think Claiborne did that bad of a job, the defense would have been sick. But he backed out, put his tail between his legs, Mad Mike, and went back to Minnesota. That was a sucker move, Mad Mike. What's your opinion on this?
I'm going to tell you that it's a sucker move, but I want to give you a quick story. Adam Humphries, the number two slot on the market, he signed with the Tennessee Titans. After agreeing to a deal with the Tennessee Titans, the New England Patriots, it's reported, actually contacted him and offered him a bigger deal, more years, more annual, more money per season, and he turned it down. And we know one thing about going to play with the Patriots, right? That means that, you know, the ultimate goal is winning Super Bowls and playing for them, and you're almost guaranteed, you know, until Brady retires, that you're going to be in that conversation if you're him, right? And not to be stereotypical, but small slot, white, tough receiver, not exactly athletically gifted, fits right in with their system, right? He turned the deal down. He said, basically, I committed here. The Patriots did not show, you know, this is the team that showed the interest. This is the team that negotiated, ponied up, and won my affection, and I signed here. I'm not backing out of it. I don't care how good it is elsewhere. I'm a man of my word. And that's exactly what Anthony Barr is not. As Scarface said, as men, all we have is our word and our balls. And without one, you're half a man. Without your word, you're half a man. Anthony Barr is half a man now. He has showed himself to be the coward. He's shown himself to be the, you know, whatever you want to call it. You know, he used the Jets. Now, he never wanted to leave Minnesota. He just wanted to go get that big contract so he can take it back to Minnesota and say, hey, give me something close and I'm staying. And they did. And that's why the one thing about this legal tampering period that I think the NFL has to get right. They have to get fixed. This is to negotiate. This is a window to allow you to negotiate terms. Fine. You don't have to, since you can't sign on the dotted line, we can't hold you to it. But once you agree, once you notify a team that you are going to join them, if you're going to go to any other team, there's got to be some kind of compensation put in place. Because you want to know what, man, if he would have agreed and there wasn't this bogus 3-day negotiation period, then he's not going anywhere else. He's a New York Jet, right? And think about this for a second. He signs his $15 million deal, you know, per year deal. They're negotiating to land Le'Veon Bell. They got to let a guy like Matt Paradis walk because they can't tie in $9 million to him without the answer from Lev Bell, because they got this $15 million answer from him. Paradis signs with Carolina, the center, and then Anthony Barr backs out of his deal. So the Jets walk away. Essentially, they want to land two of these three players, and now they only walk away with one because Anthony Barr is a coward. He's a punk. That's how I feel about this. It's absolutely wrong. It's shady.
I mean, we both had some sense that Le'Veon Bell was going to end up a New York Jet.
Yeah, but you don't know how much it's for. You know what I mean, Lloyd? Like you're still negotiating with him.
I'm not defending. I just call Anthony Barr a sucker.
No, but you know what I mean? That's where my anger comes from. Like, you know, you're in a negotiating window, period. You don't know where you know you want to land this guy, but you don't know where the money's going to land. You know what I mean? If you're negotiating with Paradis, who signed for 3 years, $27 million, $9 million a year, you don't know if to come to you, he's going to want $10 million now instead of the $9 million that he took in Carolina, right? So then you have Barr for 15 tied up. You can't do it. The NFL's got to do something. It can't happen. You got teams losing out on other players because they think they got deals with guys, and guys decide that they're sick to their stomach with the thought of playing in New York. And that's another thing that bothered me, Lloyd. You know what? You backed out fine, but don't say that. Tell the truth. Don't come out and be like, y'all, it made me sick to my stomach thinking about playing with them. Why? Did you make the playoffs last year? No. And you got a $30 million quarterback. So tell me the difference, Lloyd. Tell me the difference. Reports came out they got to trade Stephon Diggs. Reports came out on Saturday night that they're looking to trade Stephon Diggs because they can't afford to give Adam Thielen a contract. Why? Because they paid Anthony Barr and they only had $9 million in cap space. He's taken up 13 and a half. They actually got to get rid of contracts now to keep him on board, which is probably because they also decided to keep Trey Wayne's $9 million salary. We're over here talking about the Vikings instead of the Jets. But they decided to keep the freaking Trey Wayne's $9 million salary. Why? Because they don't have a replacement at cornerback. And they can't afford to let him go because Xavier Rhodes, and then you only have Xavier Rhodes, and then you got to fill in with some bogus player. So now they're probably going to release Everson Griffin. And if you're the Jets, okay, well, you're going to release Everson Griffin? I know he's 31, but he still can get after the quarterback. Maybe you dodge the bullet, and he takes $6.5-7 million, and now you have $7 million to go somewhere else. I don't know, man. It's once again, like you said, he's a sucker.
So what happens now with the Jets, man, Mike? I mean, obviously they still need help at the wideout position. They get their running back.
I think Crowder, who was the top player, the top slot receiver on the market, Jamison Crowder, before being injured this year, was actually on his way. Think about this, Lloyd. He got $28 million from the Jets, right? And before this year's down season, injury-riddled season, he was on his way to a $50 million contract. People were talking about him and Jarvis Landry money. So if you ask me, the Jets got a real steal if he's healthy this year. So you know what I mean? It's I like it. I like what he does. Yeah, they still don't have a number one receiver, but he changes things, man. He's the kind of receiver, 5'9", 175, that Todd Bowles hated. Remember we had this conversation? And you're like, Todd Bowles sure as hell loves him some 6'2", 6'3", big, heavy receivers, and they can't get open in space. This is the complete opposite. He's going to just open the field up for those guys.
I like the C.J. Mosley signing.
Love it. Love it. You know why? More than the fact that he's a four-time Pro Bowler, more than the fact that he's a big-time leader, more than the fact that he's a dog, which Jamal Adams absolutely needed in the middle of the defense, the fact of the matter, it showed me that Mike Maccagno was no longer going to marry himself to his mistakes. Darren Lee just never, ever transformed the middle of the defense like he was supposed to. The suspension, the constant missed tackles, just all of it. I loved it. It showed me that Mike Maccagnan is willing to admit his mistakes and move on, opposed to, you know, I'm just going to keep marrying myself. Maybe Darren Lee is still on the Jets, but maybe they use him at pass rusher. I mean, he's fast enough to do it. Quarterbacks aren't going to run him over. He clearly doesn't want to get lost in the trenches and you know, go full steam at running backs. And, you know, maybe his next position is pass rush. And it's Dwight Freeney role.
I want to bring – so, man, Mike, let's just say you have Quinnen Williams, because with everything that's being shaken up now, with all these trades and all this stuff that's going on, how this can affect the draft. You have Quinnen Williams, and you have that young man from Kentucky on the board. There's a possibility that one of them could be there for the New York Giants. But both of them could be there for the Jets. Who do you take?
So we're working under the assumption that Murray goes one. Got you. Yeah. And Bosa goes two. Yes. So if the Jets sign somebody like Ziggy Ansah, who I know he's always injured, he's 31 years old, outside pass rusher. If they sign Ziggy Ansah, I would take Quinnen Williams. And the reason I tell you that is because you put Quinnen Williams on the inside with Leo in a 4-3, and you're going to see them finally unlock all of that talent that Leo has had to reserve or you know, has just been miscoached in the 3-4. Now, if you're telling me that they're going to stay 3-4 and they're going to run, you know, with no Ziggy Ansah, I'm going Josh Allen. And even if they sign Ziggy Ansah, if they're going to stay in the 3-4, I'm signing Josh Allen. Because the inside line, the interior linemen don't really impact the game unless you have an outside pass rush. Ziggy Ansah and Josh Allen on the outside, they kept Henry Anderson and Steve McClendon. So now you're talking about those three should be able to push a line if you're double teaming on the outside. So it really depends. Long answer with no, you know, yeah, really no answer. If they stay 4-3, I'm going to say Quinnen Williams. If they go 4-3, Quinnen Williams. If they stay 3-4, Josh Allen. Right. It really depends on the scheme.
And I also got to say, you know, maybe the Jets learned a lesson from Anthony Barr with the way they dealt with Le'Veon Bell. and signing him. They gave him a deadline, man. They was like, look, this is
what
it is.
Yeah, they did the same thing to Sue last year, too. You remember that?
Yeah.
They basically said, hey, don't stop an offer. You know, we're kind of tired of this.
Yeah. Which is why, I mean, but, you know, if a player tells you that I'm in and then backs out, that's a completely different story.
But Lev Bell also said, overall money, the Jets offered him the most. But guaranteed money, the Jets did not offer him the most.
Right.
So he was very honest about that. So, you know, yeah, I know he came for the money. But at the same time, you can say, you know, San Fran offered him $38 million guaranteed. All $38 million over 3 years, all guaranteed. And the Jets gave him 4 years, 52, with $32 million guaranteed through the first three. Yeah, three roughly. So
I would like to think that he's been pretty healthy for the majority of his career. You know, and he was, you know, people were saying may have hurt him. You know, that he's been a year out of football. Well, listeners, it could have also helped him to be a year out of football.
Well, you know, Lloyd, not for nothing. When we talk about or think about Le'Veon Bell, and this is why I think he was always going to come here. Just from my standpoint, Curtis Martin is Le'Veon Bell's idol. He's exactly who he's, you know, mirrored throughout his career. And anybody that remembers Curtis Martin suffered a serious knee injury that he couldn't recover from. It wasn't that he got old. It wasn't that age got to him. He had the kind of running style that you always thought that he could run the ball until he was 34, 35 years old. And I think the same thing about Le'Veon Bell. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say that age is not going to get him, but he's not. Let's say Saquon Barkley, right? He's not Saquon. He's not some of these other guys where you see the absolute athletic gifts. Like with Saquon, and we acknowledge he's great, but we don't know how Saquon is going to look at 30 years old when you kind of take away that athleticism, when he's not hurdling guys. And, you know, at that point in time, you could say a guy like Le'Veon Bell, like, you know, he would age a little better because he's not relying on those kind of gifts to make him great. He relies on his vision, his patience, you know, just keeping the legs moving and finding the right spaces, not necessarily holes, but spaces to run through. I think he's going to age well.
Not only that, he's going to help Sam Darnold out of that damn backfield. He's one of the best running backs catching the ball out of the backfield in the NFL.
And, you know, people forget that too, right? People forget that. He absolutely is. By far, he was the best. By far, absolutely the best at doing it. And you know, part of it is that I think in the media, you know, they want to keep the Jets a joke. They don't want to give the Jets any credit. So they're going to tell you about how the Jets paid all this money for a running back that can't do it. But not for nothing, you didn't hear anybody calling this run, you know, saying this running back couldn't do it and he was a joke and all these things when Pittsburgh was doing it. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, because Pittsburgh does things the right way. So, look, man, you can't escape it. They had to pay the money. But at the same time, it's like, it's not like they super overpaid him. He's not making $15, $16 million a year. He's making, $13 million a year? That's not really that bad. Consider the fact that he made $12 million in his last season with Pittsburgh.
Right. And he's, you know, a lot of people are saying he shot himself in the foot. Because obviously, overall, he would have made more money in Pittsburgh, you know, than he's making right now. But hey, you know, these are chances that we take in life sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't.
But what if he blew out his leg in Pittsburgh? That's why people, you can't just say things like that, right? Because at least in Pittsburgh, yeah, he would have made $14 million. But if he blows out his knee, is he getting $52 million?
That's right.
And that's what his argument was.
And that's why that's a great point by Matt. And that's why a lot of players don't like to get the franchise tag put on because you're basically playing for a one-year contract.
Yeah, and listeners, I'll give you another example of it. Don't believe a team when the team says, yeah, we were going to take care of him. Don't necessarily believe it. DeMarcus Lawrence just played a year on a franchise tag for the Cowboys. And what did the Cowboys do? They came out and they franchised him again this year, this offseason. So don't think for 1 second just because the guy goes out there and shows good faith and he plays under that franchise tag that a team is going to take care of him. That's absolutely bogus.
And you're going to franchise tag a player twice. Is that correct?
Yes, two times.
So he at the end of this year, God willing, he stays healthy. I don't wish harm upon anybody. You know, he'll be up. Dallas is going to have to do something. Either going to have to pay him or he's going to walk.
Correct. But now, Lloyd, what if he gets hurt?
No, I agree. And that's why I said, that's why a lot of players don't like to be franchise tagged. That's why Landon Collins told the Giants, nope, don't do it.
Don't now, do Landon, it. Now, Landon, I would, I'm, and I might have considered one time doing it, you know, doing it the first year.
The Giants' call. That was the whole thing. It was their call. They dropped the ball with that. I would have been like, well, you know what? Tough. And you know what? He could have did the Le'Veon Bell thing and sat out. But you say you can't even do that. I don't even know if you can do that the first year.
But that's what I was just going to say. You got to think about something. Le'Veon Bell didn't sit out the franchise tag. He sat out the second one. He played the first year on the franchise tag.
Right.
And that's where I'm going with it. Like DeMarcus Lawrence played his first franchise tag. Landon Collins refused to play his first year on a franchise tag. that's the difference.
And that's why he's no longer a Giant, listeners.
But if you're Landon Collins, and this is why I stood on his side, Landon Collins saw the direction the team was going and said, I'm not playing on a franchise tag for this.
Yeah, but look where he goes to Washington. We just said Washington ain't. I mean, Washington is what. It's not like he went to the Cowboys. It's not like he went, you know what I'm saying, to the Eagles.
You're right. But give me one second on that one. Maybe I could. Maybe I can't. But remember something. Landon Collins, idol. Sean Taylor.
Oh no. Yeah. I get you, but I'm just saying Washington ain't in no better shape. It's not like he went to a Super Bowl contending team.
No, you're right. You're 100% right.
He better get used to losing in Washington as well. Oh, Washington, they may beat the Giants. Oh, well. You still ain't winning a division. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying, Mike? But you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I get it. But look, let's talk about some other things that happened in the NFL. Ryan Tannehill got traded to the Titans. And then the Titans turned around and signed Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You know what I don't understand about that, Lloyd? And maybe you can, because I still haven't figured it out. Maybe you can give me a little, I don't even know what it is. Maybe you can make some sense of it for me. But you fire your coach because Tannehill didn't turn into what you guys thought he could become, right? But after you fire the coach, you go and say that, you admit that the quarterback was the problem because you paid $5 million of the $7 million salary he's going to make to trade him away for a fourth-round pick. So was Gase the problem or was Tannehill the problem? And if you're telling me it was Tannehill with this trade, then I feel a hell of a lot better about Adam Gase as a Jet fan.
Yeah, and that, what is that? And then he goes and he backs up Marcus Mariota, who always gets hurt.
Oh, yeah, which is probably why he went there.
Tannehill wants to be a starting quarterback and not a backup, but supposedly he restructured his contract or something like that.
Yeah, he's only going to get $7 million, and the way they restructured it, the Dolphins are on the hook for $5 million of the $7 million, and that was their way of getting a better draft pick. Think about that. They had to pay $5 million, pay $5 million of his salary just so they can get a fourth-round pick. Was it the coach or was it the player?
Yeah. No, great point. Great point. And we also mentioned about Golden Tate signing with the New York Giants, 4-year deal with 23, fully guaranteed, and he can make as much as $37.5 million. Me and Matt Mike, neither one of us are in favor of that.
It was 37. Wow, I thought it was 31.
It was 37. if he stays there the entire contract.
Wow. It's 37. Even worse.
All right, Blake Bortles is no longer a Jaguar. They released him.
Good. I stopped being a fan of his.
He was replaced by Nick Foles.
What the hell are they thinking, bro? Well, 51 guaranteed, $88 million over 4 years for Nick Foles.
Nick Foles got 3-year, $54
million. What the hell are they? No, 488, brother. 488, 51 and a half guaranteed.
Yeah.
Well, what the hell are they thinking?
And the team is going to eat $16.5 million in dead money already paid to him. That account against the cap. He's going to make $22 million.
You know what that's about, right? That's about them. They hired John DeFilippo as their offensive coordinator. And this is Bill O'Brien. Not Bill O'Brien. Damn, man. Well, what's the guy's name? The coach he was supposed to, Doug Marrone. This is Doug Marrone's last opportunity to win with a valid quarterback. And if that doesn't happen, they're going to give this job to John DeFilippo, who coached Nick Foles to that Super Bowl. And, you know, that's what they're doing there in Jacksonville. But that kind of money to a guy who's never been good outside of Philadelphia doesn't make sense to me.
We'll see. Look, man. I'm happy to see other teams make deals that have me scratching my head outside of the Giants. But, and the Chiefs released 5-time Pro Bowler Eric Berry, as we mentioned before. He was cut before his $7.25 million salary became fully guaranteed.
Well, we knew that was coming. Even though I'm be very honest with you, I don't think that these guys are going. Justin Houston got cut by Kansas City. Eric Berry. I think they're going to bring all these guys back, but at lesser deals.
D. Ford got traded to San Francisco, and then he turned around and signed a new contract over there.
Gargantuan. I don't know what they're thinking either. John Lynch is as lost as Dave Gettleman. He went from being a darling to being, you know, one of the worst GMs in football. How you give Quan Alexander, coming off ACL, he's never been healthy, he's never played 16 games in a season at middle linebacker. He's undersized at 232 pounds for middle linebacker. He misses the most tackle in the NFL since he's been in the league. And you made him the second highest paid linebacker in football history. That's one of the reasons that the Jets had to blow up the market for C.J. Mosley at 17 was because they gave Quan Alexander $13.5 million.
Yeah.
Think about that. This guy's never played 16 games. He's you could say his best days are behind him because of his health. I don't know, man. And then you go and you trade for a second-round pick and then give D. Ford $84 million, even though you've invested massively in your pass rush through the draft. And not only that, if you want to question it even further, aren't they in position to land Nick Bosa? Why would you, if you are about to draft the best pass rusher since his brother came out of college, why would you give $84 million to D. Ford, Lloyd? Why? He's a name, yeah, sounds pretty, but why? Unless you're looking at Quinton Williams as an interior pass rusher. Because without an interior and all these outside rushers they have, how the hell are they going to get? How's anybody going to get to the quarterback?
Yeah, listen, some more head scratches other than the New York Giants. I'm loving it. And Earl Thomas and Mark Ingram are the newest Baltimore Ravens, Mad Mike. Earl Thomas is set to sign a 4-year, $55 million deal with $32 million guaranteed. And it was reports that he might have signed with the Dallas Cowboys because of his infatuation with Dallas, and that didn't happen.
You know what's scary? Actually, after the Odell Beckham Jr. trade, reports had came out that he was close with Cleveland before getting it done with Baltimore.
Yeah, that would have been absolutely crazy. And I know Cleveland was trying to make that happen. You know, and Ingram has a 3-year contract with the unknown guaranteed figure worth a maximum of $15 million.
Yeah, I like the Ingram deal for them. They haven't had a running back, a reliable running back in a long time. And Mark Ingram, while nothing fancy, nothing special, Mark Ingram just gives them a steady hand. I like that deal for them.
He's a solid running back.
Yeah.
You know, he's not flashy. He's a solid running back. He's been a consistent, you know, solid running back his career thus far. And I also want to add that the Ravens released safety Eric Weddle.
Did he sign somewhere? I thought I saw he signed somewhere, but I can't really remember. Do you know?
I don't know. I'm flipping through my notes. Maybe it'll pop up as we're going on.
Because I'll be honest, I before the Giants went and made these moves at safety, I thought Eric Weddle was a perfect kind of guy for that defense.
Yeah, listen, we also brought up Le'Veon Bell with the Jets. 4 years, $35 million guaranteed, a maximum of $61 million. You know, good move by the New York Jets. You know, they've had a carousel of running backs by committee for the last couple years. Now they have a solid running back. And we mentioned D. Ford going to San Francisco. We mentioned that ridiculous contract. You know, so... D Ford is over there. It became, you know, a point where I think they was talking about either trading him. Well, obviously they traded him, but I don't know if they, who is it they were going to release? Was it the, oh man.
Who, San Fran?
No, Kansas City.
It was Justin Houston. Yes. They released Justin Houston, but that's what I'm saying. A lot of people believe Justin Houston is already going to go back there with the release of D Ford's $13 million cap hold. Now you have the money. And if you think about it, Eric Berry was set to make $7.5 million. Justin Houston was set to make $12 million. If D Ford, now you have $13 million to play with, you can actually mess around and probably keep both guys at a lesser number. So we'll see. I don't think so, but right. You know, a lot of people think they can do it. So
the Green Bay Packers, they signed former Bears safety Adrian Amos to a 4-year deal with a maximum of $37 million. They signed former Broncos offensive lineman Billy Turner with a maximum contract of $29.5 million. They signed former Washington pass rusher Preston Smith. He signed a 4-year deal worth $16 million. A signing bonus worth at least $52 million across 4 years. And they signed former Ravens pass rusher Za'Darius Smith to a 4-year deal with a maximum value of... Where the hell is all this money coming from? With a maximum value of $66 million.
Well, Green Bay is like the Jets, man. The Green Bay has drafted so poorly over the last few years. That's why Ted Thompson has been fired. They gave up. They had a lot of money invested in wide receivers. Their Randall Cobb is going to be shown the door. Jordy Nelson was cut a year ago.
They also cut Nick Perry, Mad Mike.
Yeah, they released Perry. Clay Matthews is no longer a Packer. So they've had a lot of money come off at just about the right time, too, if you think about it, because their window seemed to have closed. Yeah, they have Rodgers, you know, but outside of Rodgers and Davante Adams, everybody looked to, you know, hasn't lived up to billing. So they had to go out there and spend some money.
I have a feeling at some point that either Clay Matthews or...
Clay Matthews would be a Patriot. Let's be honest. Yeah. He fits that mold. He just fits that mold.
Listen, he's been there. You know, I like Nick Perry. I mean, Nick Perry's battled a lot of injuries, but I like him as well.
I thought that, you know, the Jets are now into that second and third tier market. They still need a pass rush. I like him for I like Nick Perry for the Jets. Like him a lot if he can stay healthy. But, you know, I think that's what's hurting him is his health. I mean, it's hard to ask for big-time money and big-time years when teams already question if you're going to stay healthy. All right. I think Nick Perry's doomed for, you know, 1 or 2 year deal.
All right, so Teddy Bridgewater is staying in New Orleans, which you said was going to happen. You know, I was kind of thinking that maybe that would be something that the Giants would do, but obviously if they're re-signing Eli Manning, that killed that nonsense.
Yeah, I don't think he was ever going to leave, man. Like I said, I don't think you give up a third-round pick to get a guy. I don't think Drew Brees has any interest. You know, I know that in the days now, 45-year-old quarterback, you know, people think you can do it. But I don't think Drew Brees has any interest in playing another 3-4 years. I think that job is Teddy's job.
Yeah, the Browns added former Jet, Matt Mike Sheldon Richardson. To a pass rush that was already terrifying. So Sheldon Richardson is now with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you about the interior with San Francisco, right? Adding Sheldon, you could have Olivier Vernon, who clearly needs a number one guy, and they have Myles Garrett. But if you don't have that interior pass rush that's got to be accounted for, you know, those guys are going to end up struggling. Sheldon Richardson was such a smart signing. He really was. You know, it's not that he doesn't have the talent. He's just a freaking head case. And he's one failed drug test away from a full year suspension, which is why no one is willing to give him the money. You know, people thought he was destined for a $100 million contract. And the only reason he's not getting it is that reason. But yeah. He's still talented, super talented.
And the Raiders, you know, they signed LaMarcus Joyner to a 4-year deal. And he was tagged in 2018 by the Rams. There you go. And he another player, man, Mike, that was tagged and played under the first year being tagged. They, I like LaMarcus Joyner. I really do. I like him a lot. I like LaMarcus. He's a solid nickel back. And you know, we have Tyrann Mathieu, the honey badger. He's going to Kansas City. That's going to help that team out a lot. I like the honey badger. He, a 3-year deal up to $42 million.
Yeah, which literally provides
the Chiefs with the secondary talent they desperately needed last season.
Yeah, I like the deal because he's always hurt, right? So from a talent standpoint, we could sit here, Lloyd, and actually have a conversation about him being the most talented safety in all of football, right? On just talent, we could have that conversation, right? Could also say he's probably one of the least durable safeties in all of the league, right? So what do you do? It's hard to pay him 5 years, $84 million like Landon Collins got, even though he deserves more than Landon Collins got. So what do? You give him $18 million or whatever the hell it was they gave him up front, and then it breaks down to something like $14 million a year, which is great for a safety position, but you only do it for 3 years because you don't know how long he's going to be healthy. You can't be holed up. So for him, I'm gonna get a lot of money up, you know, up front. But I'm not going to hold the team, you know, and good for him. Good for him for seeing what he is as a player and what his value was and taking a deal, you know, that's basically mirrors that. Right. That's a great for both teams.
And Terrell Suggs, a.k.a. T-Sizzle, will no longer be a Raven. He's likely to sign with the Arizona Cardinals, or reports that he signed with the Arizona Cardinals.
I love this deal. I really do. I know that people in Baltimore are upset because they wanted him to, you know, guys, they wanted the Ray Lewis effect. You know what I mean? They wanted him to be that, you know, one team for his whole career and retire. But he's going home. People forget he played in Arizona State. People forget that he's from Phoenix. You know what I mean? Like, in his final year of his career, he wanted to play in his hometown in front of his family and friends. And how many players get to make that decision and actually go through with it? And he did.
Yeah. And speaking of going home, Tampa Bay has agreed to trade DeSean Jackson in a 2027th round pick to the Philadelphia Eagles for a 2019 sixth round pick, and Jackson to get a $13 million guaranteed contract and a restructured deal. So DeSean Jackson is going back to the Eagles.
I love it. Just another move, Harry Roseman. You know, Howie Roseman racing a Chip Kelly blunder. DeSean should have always been an Eagle. And, you know, it just gives Carson Wentz another option. I mean, that team still has weapons. That team, they really do. That team still has a pass rush. They got to, you know, we can say that their secondary, you know, is not what it used to be. But we could also say that, hey, if their secondary gets healthy, they really don't have to sign anybody.
Yeah,
they might be the most complete team.
So now the Detroit Lions are adding Trey Flowers. I mean, obviously that's the way it goes, right, Mad Mike? Usually when players respect the coach or they like a coach and that coach gets a head coaching job someplace else, a lot of times those players will flock.
Yeah.
You know, they'll flock there.
So I respect them. I respect them. You know what? I do and don't respect Trey Flowers' decision. I don't respect Trey Flowers for misleading everybody, and then coming out and saying he was only going to play for two or three teams. He was only going to consider the Lions, the Titans, only teams that had ties to Bill Belichick. But he, you know, they make that public, so teams can go a different route. You don't make it public because you still want to maximize your value.
Yeah,
kind of just, you know what I mean? Like, I did have a problem with that because he was high on the Jets list.
Jason Peters, he's going to be protecting Carson Wentz again. He got a $5.5 million guaranteed contract with a maximum of $10 million. You know, he's battled injuries throughout his career. You know, so the Raiders added Antonio Brown, as we mentioned before. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see. Antonio Brown was complaining about Ben Roethlisberger. What do you think he's going to do about Derek Carr, Matt Mike? I can't really say that Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger.
But you know what he might be, Lloyd? He might be a better teammate. And I'll tell you, Le'Veon Bell wasn't the only one.
Sometimes that makes a difference. But
Antonio, an unnamed player last week came out. He might not even have been unnamed anymore, but unnamed player at the time I had read the article said that Ben Roethlisberger would be on a water cooler, sitting on a water cooler, reading the newspaper during practice while all the other guys were expected to run through walls and complete their drills at 100%. So you tell me, in what world is the quarterback not going to, like, where are these guys not going to have a problem with that?
Yeah.
Like, you're questioning my route running. You're sitting on the water cooler reading a newspaper while I'm running my routes.
Yeah, so the Eagles, Hassan Malik Jackson, there's reports that he signed Malik Jackson. Danny Amendola is heading to Detroit. You know, the Rams re-signed Dante Fowler Jr. The Chiefs, obviously, we talked about them releasing Justin Houston after failing to trade him. And the Buffalo Bills signed Cole Beasley. And who's the other receiver they signed, man, Mike? They signed two receivers. It was Cole Beasley and somebody else.
Yeah, I don't know. They made a lot of moves. Some head scratchers, but they rebuilt that offensive line.
Eric Weddle ended up signing with the Rams, man, Mike.
Yes, he did. You're right.
And Michael Bennett is with the Patriots.
Got traded to the Pats, yes. That was because of Malik Jackson signing.
Yes.
It's funny because Michael Bennett hates the Patriots.
And
he absolutely hates the Patriots. Like, not a fan of them.
But look, man,
whatsoever.
Mike, before we close out the show, Mad Mike, and let you go on your rant, Mad Mike's rant of the week, real quick, just give the listeners this whole breakdown with the Yankee business before we let you do your rant. So go ahead and break that down for the listeners real quick, Mad Mike.
Nah, the Yankees. Wait, what am I breaking down? The injuries?
Yeah, with Aaron Hicks.
Aaron Hicks
not being ready for opening day. Luis Severino.
The Yankees have announced that Aaron Hicks is not going to be with the team. He's going to start the year on the DL after signing his new contract. And this was the complaint me and Lloyd explained to you listeners, that this man cannot stay healthy. And the problem with Aaron Hicks is it's always core muscle injuries. It's not fluke injuries. It's core muscle injuries. His abs, his obliques, his back, his hamstring. You can't escape those. When a guy is that kind of injured, you want to complain about Jacoby Ellsbury, right? He's made of glass. Well, I'll tell you this. Go look at his injuries. Jacoby Ellsbury injuries, you can call them fluky because they've always been body parts that I've never even heard of. Like, what? I didn't even know that was in a body. How'd you hurt it? Whereas Aaron Hicks, on the other hand, is like, damn, man, a hamstring again? Damn, your oblique again? Damn, your abs again? Now it's your back? Like, holy crap. That's only going to get worse as he gets older. I promise you.
Agreed.
The other one that bothers me is Severino has inflammation in the shoulder. I don't think he's going to bounce back. Well, Brian Cashman has already announced that he's not going to make he's not going to be ready to pitch in the big leagues until at least May. So he's going to miss the opening month of the season. And I said this last week on the show. Tommy Canley had the same injury last year, and he was never the same for the entire year. And he's a reliever. So I don't know what to expect. But this team better be on the phone with Dallas Keuchel's peoples because they absolutely need it. I believe CC Sabathia will also start the year on the DL.
He has a 5-game suspension as well.
Correct. So as he takes it slow from his rehab, from his heart, you know, scared this offseason. So this team has a need. They definitely have a need. And it's especially in a pitching right now. So that's where we're at.
All right. So here we go now. It's that time of the show we all love. It's time to let Mad Mike go on his rant. So Mad Mike, what's your rant for the week, brother?
Lord, my rant is actually a two-time, it's a repeat offender. I'm going to give you LeBron James, man. What is this guy's problem? He refused to enter the huddle during a timeout, sat at the end of the bench, and I mean, even Walt Clyde Frazier had to call him out. What is he doing? Does LeBron James think that he can win an NBA title without four other guys? You've already lost a team. What are you doing now? Are you trying to get yourself traded from LA? Well, what's going on, Lloyd? You want to give me this Michael Jordan nonsense. When was the last time Michael Jordan did that to a teammate? What the hell is going on here? I'm watching the Knicks. First of all, how does a LeBron James team, Lloyd, blow a 9-point lead? No, 11-point lead to the New York Knicks with less than 3 minutes left in the game. The New York Knicks that are trying to do everything they can to lose every single game the rest of the way. And you're going to act like that? LeBron James is going to act like that? Like I don't need these guys? I don't have your coach coaching for his career, his life right now? And you're going to show him up by not going in the huddle? Stop it.
All right, so there you have it, listeners. What is going on with LeBron James? Listen, we both said that he's nowhere near as great a player as Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but Lloyd, that's something else, man.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Even the biggest LeBron defender.
But now, what are you showing? Also showing free agents that want, you know what I'm saying, that you want to come there. He's doing everything the wrong way, man. You knew what you were signing up for before you even went there. You knew it, but you still chose to go there anyway.
Yeah. So that's
you know, sometimes they say you get what you deserve, right? And voila, there you have it. He's getting what he deserves. So with that being said, listeners, that's going to bring us to the close of this week's show. I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we want to thank you for sticking around with us and keeping this thing going. We want to also thank our producer, Ayo Omar Baker, for rolling with us. So listeners, we got still a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on in sports, so we'll be back in 7 days to do the breakdown. Maybe we can do a mock draft, hopefully. But, things happen in sports that may deter us or keep us from, you know, doing certain things. But there's a lot to talk about, which is why sports is a great thing. So, hey, yo, let's roll, baby. We up out of here.
And just like that, that brings our show to a close. All of you fine ladies and gentlemen that have been listening, I thank you. If you subscribe, thank you. If not, please do so. And make sure you share it with your friends and your family, anybody that you know. But get into some sports talk. You got the best sports podcast, in my very humble opinion. The best sports podcast, the real sports and the real talk, right here with the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show. As you already know, episodes drop every single Monday. Head over to LloydAThompson.com. Follow on Instagram and Twitter at Lloyd A. Thompson. That's with two L's. Make sure you throw the second L in. And we'll catch y'all in a week. Peace.